Any reason to raise rates?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In Washington today, the Federal Reserve kicks off a two-day meeting on interest rates. The conventional wisdom is the Fed's going to keep its key lending rate way down there, near 0%. After all, the economy is weak, unemployment's high, credit is tight. And as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, there's that little matter of inflation.
In just about an hour and a half, the Labor Department will report on the Producer Price Index for November. That's the measure of how much selling prices have changed for producers here in the U.S. And the figure is expected to jump by a full percentage point. Bruce McCain is chief investment strategist for Key Private Bank in Cleveland. He says today's number may rattle the public, but probably not the Fed.
Inflationary expectations are running extremely high. Certainly the pressure will be ratcheted up, but I think that the Fed recognizes that their first and primary concern is employment unless they're absolutely forced to act on inflation.
He says with unemployment at 10%, it's likely the Fed will stay the course with regards to interest rates and some of its emergency measures. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Inflation did make an appearance in Britain this morning. The UK reported consumer price inflation rose last month at its fastest pace since May. World stock markets are drifting gently lower today, like snowflakes. European markets are down by less than 1%. Asian stocks were down about 1%. Wall Street managed some gains, though, yesterday. S&P 500 and the NASDAQ were up almost 1%, and the Dow added 29 points and closed at 10,501. Late yesterday, Wells Fargo joined the list of big banks paying back the government's TARP program. New York Governor David Patterson said this week he is withholding $750 million in payments to schools and local governments. That's because the state legislature could not come up with enough cuts to solve New York's budget shortfall. As Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, just about every state is in similar trouble.
New York isn't the only one on an austerity program. States have been looking all over for places to cut their budgets.
Health and Human Services, programs to vulnerable populations, some education funding, a lot of higher ed cuts in the last legislative session.
Sue Uran is managing director of the Pew Center on the States. She says it'll probably get even worse next year because last year states had lots of stimulus money to help make up the difference. John Shore works on the state fiscal project at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. It's a think tank. He says it usually takes states longer to recover. Their revenue doesn't go back up until people start getting jobs again, and states have more expenses during a recession.
In a time of recession, public needs rise, and the ability of states to meet those needs declines. So the gap between needs and resources is continuing to grow.
Both Shore and Uran say it could be years before revenues get back to pre-recession levels, something that could have long-term consequences. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
British Airways cabin crew members might strike over Christmas. The union says nearly 93% of workers have voted in favor of a strike starting next Tuesday and running until January 2nd, which, of course, could upset the plans of thousands of holiday travelers. British Airways has done some painful cost cutting, axing 1,700 jobs, freezing pay for current staff, and lowering wages for new employees. But the airline's CEO says a strike would be, quote, completely unjustified.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. By the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And by Bank of America, 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities.
It is day 9 at the United Nations summit in Copenhagen, where the world is grappling with climate change. Marketplace reporters Stephen Beard and Sam Eaton are there. And we continue our coverage this morning just as the final high-level sessions get underway. Let's bring in Stephen Beard on the line with us live. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Bill.
So we are approaching home stretch in this summit. World leaders will arrive through Thursday. The final declaration is scheduled for Friday. What signs of progress are there?
But the indications are that the summit is getting pretty close to agreement on a plan to limit deforestation, a key part, of course, of the whole climate change picture. When you chop down a tree, you remove one of nature's ways of absorbing CO2 from the atmosphere. Now, all the major players here have apparently agreed a plan to create big financial incentives to stop destructive, unfettered logging. This could be a breakthrough.
Okay, could be a breakthrough. This is in contrast to some of what we've been hearing the last several days, because we've been talking about disagreements at this summit, particularly between rich countries and poor countries. What would you say, Stephen, is the most divisive issue?
Verification, I think. How do we know that when a country's promised to cut its emissions of heat-trapping gases, it's going to be as good as its word? It's going to deliver. This is pretty crucial. It's still a major source of division between the US and China in particular. It seems this won't be resolved here in Copenhagen. It'll have to wait until later.
Okay, my governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is expected to deliver a speech today, the California governor. Who else is speaking?
Senator John Kerry and the New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown this evening, and of course President Obama arrives on Friday.
Very good. Marketplace reporter Stephen Beard, they're live in Copenhagen. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Bill.
And be sure to tune in later today for Marketplace with Kai Rizdal. We'll get more coverage from the UN Climate Change Conference going on in Copenhagen, Denmark. Finally, it's late at night. You're quietly watching TV, getting drowsy, when suddenly...
Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead.
An ad comes on. It seems like it's twice the volume of the program you were watching. Well, today the House is scheduled to vote on a proposal to quiet those ads. There is also a similar bill already in the Senate. It's called the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Migration Act of 2009. And that migration word really is just thrown in so it spells out calm. You're listening to Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.